This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Alex Pacheco at New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, How to Make a Fresh Start, Pastor Alex shares scriptural guidance on how to overcome fear and fully live the Christian life. This message was delivered on Sunday, October 29, 2017. Here now is Pastor Alex.
Well, this morning we have the privilege of listening to my favorite pastor, my mentor, my teacher, the guy who hooked me and reeled me in. Just a wonderful friend, a great leader, and we can learn so much from him. And also, you can learn so much from watching his wife because she is just a wonderful person. And so this morning, I would like you to welcome Pastor Alex Pacheco as he gives the message.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Scott. I agree fully that you guys got a good pastor. You know, one of the things that Brenna and I do is when one of our new churches start up, we try and go out and help. And you guys think that I just disappeared and went to heaven, but I'm still here yet. And Brenna and I are in Kukaha now helping with Kahu Charlie there. And we enjoy every moment. He actually asked me to speak last week, and the topic that I spoke on was about a servant that loves God. And we kind of laid out a foundation that where Jesus told, a guy asked Jesus a question, what is the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus responded to him and said that you are to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, body, and strength. And what it is really the foundation of a Christian's walk. Somebody who loves God with all their heart can accomplish great things. How many of you have at certain times heard a voice say to you, how come you doing all the work and where everybody else there? And you hear all these kind of voices all the time, you know, trying to get you to follow that voice. And if you have a strong foundation in the Lord, you will hear His voice. And we talked about that, you know, if you're like me, I know you are, that we have at times, if we had a job, we would complain about the job. We complain about the boss. We complain about everybody that works with us. And we never look at ourselves in the mirror and say, "What? Maybe something wrong with us." But when we do that, we have forgotten who we really work for. And if you have forgotten, let me encourage you that when you go to work tomorrow, you work for a new boss, and his name is the Lord God. And if you can do that, work for him, you will see that things will go better. Amen? And then when Pastor Scott had asked me to come and speak, and I asked him, well, what do you want me to speak on? And he just said, I know you hear the Lord, so just speak whatever he says. And you know what that does? It makes me go, I got to go down on my knees and say, Lord, what are you saying for this church? And this is what I felt the Lord say, that because we're human beings, we make a lot of mistakes. Anybody would agree with that? Sometimes big mistakes. I'm going to confess to you something that I'm not proud of it, but I made a big mistake once. And my wife and I, we got into a real heated argument. How many of you do that? Okay. So from here on, you don't have to raise your hands when I say this kind of stuff. But you're with me. And the argument got so bad that I just wanted to respond by, you know, hitting something. And I know that you're not supposed to hit your wife, right, guys? Yeah. Not supposed to hit your wife. So I took it out on a chair. And that dumb chair ended up flying across the room, hitting the wall and making one big hole in him. And I just shook my head and I said, oh, man, I wish I didn't do that. Now, who are going to get to fix the wall? And guess who came to fix the wall? Pastor Scott. But he didn't only fix the wall. He gave me counseling. Because even as a pastor, we make big mistakes. Mistakes that we wish we didn't do. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about how can you make a fresh start? Because I needed a fresh start at that time. And honey, has things gotten better since then? Yeah. They want to come to our house and see if get any more holes in the wall and all that. A fresh start. And the problem is you cannot go back and rewind the tape. You cannot go back to the past. What you need to do is from this moment on, you got to start over. And we're going to talk about that today. I got actually five things I want to share with you. In your bulletin, you have an outline that you can follow along. But the first verse, it says in Psalms 145, it says, God gives a fresh start. Who does?
God.
Okay. He gives a fresh start to those who are ready to quit. I don't know if you have been there, but there are times when you want to just throw the towel in and quit. You want to quit your marriage. You want to quit your job. You want to just quit. And God can give us a fresh start. So that's what we want to learn about today. We're going to talk about these five secrets of making this fresh start, things from God's Word that will help you regardless of your background, regardless of your past, regardless of how you have really messed up. You can make a fresh start. Everybody say hallelujah. Amen to that. Yeah. How can we do this? So one day, Jesus, he's walking through the streets, and this is the city of Jericho. And it says there's a large crowd that is following him. And there's this blind beggar on the side of the road. This guy's name is Bartimaeus. And you got to understand now, to be blind in those days, this is the old days, it meant that you could not work. Obviously, you couldn't read or write because they didn't have any of these stuff that we got today. He's blind. You couldn't go anywhere. There were no seeing eye dogs at that time as well. There were a lot of, there were not a lot of the helps that we have today that helps blind folks. So he was reduced to simply begging for a living. Every day somebody would carry him out, put him on the side of the road, set him on a pallet, and he would beg for subsistence every single day, every day, day in, day out. They would take him out, and then bring him in at night. It was a real miserable life. This is this guy named Bartimaeus. So Jesus one day is walking by, and Bartimaeus starts to think, this is my chance. I got to go for it. This is where I can get my fresh start. I'm not going to miss this. This opportunity is coming, and I need to do this. And so what he does is he starts yelling out, and he starts to scream above the noise of the crowd, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I want to point out this. If you're taking notes this morning, that is the first step to a fresh start with God. Number one, you got to seize the moment. He said, I'm not going to miss this one. I'm going to take advantage. Jesus is coming by right now. And I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to procrastinate. I am just going to start right now. And that's the key to a first fresh start in your life. And whatever you're going to do, do it now. Turn to the person next to you and say, do it now. Yeah, we need that reminder. What did some of you say? No, next year. That's right around the corner, only a couple months. No, don't say next year I'm going to make a fresh start. Or next month I'm going to make a... It's now or never. Seize the moment. When Bartimaeus got up that morning, he had no idea that Jesus was going to be walking by. not alone to be passing by him. As best as he knew it, it was just going to be another ordinary day. Same place, same thing, same begging, same miserable, lonely, pitiful lifestyle. And so he had no time to prepare for Jesus. He had no time to plan for Jesus. It was just an opportunity that had just dropped in his lap. Jesus is walking by, and he had to seize that moment. Now, this story I'm telling you about, where is it? It's in the Bible, in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 and 47. It says, as Jesus left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So he's saying, I'm going to take advantage of this. It's now or never. I'm going to make the most of it. And he seizes the opportunity and the moment. Now I want to talk to you. All around you, every day, there are opportunities for a fresh start. You get them all the time, but you don't take advantage of them. You know why? One word, procrastination. The truth is, you already know the right thing to do. You already know. Not only that, you know the benefits of doing the right things in your life. So why do you not do them? You keep saying, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off. Someday one of those days I'll get around to it. I'm aiming to, but you never do it. And the Bible warns us over and over about presuming upon tomorrow because tomorrow is not guaranteed, folks. How many of you know one day that you're going to die? Okay, the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, one day you're going to die. I'm not trying to be corny. I'm just trying to say that we don't know what's going to come tomorrow. We're not guaranteed. We have no guarantee that you and I will live tomorrow. Whatever you're going to do, you better do it now. What do you need to do to stop procrastinating about? What do you need to start doing that you already know is the right thing? I think that God brought some of you here this morning just so he could say to you, stop making excuses. Get on with it. Start living the things that you know to do. And he's saying, give me your life now. Start living for me now. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. No procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put off God's kingdom until tomorrow. You seize the day. Stop procrastinating. Now here's the second secret of making a fresh start. You tame your fear. If you're going to make a fresh start with faith in your life, you've got to face your fears. You've got to tame your fears and toss them out. Don't let them control you. Fear has an incredible ability to paralyze our potential, to keep us from launching out, to keep us from having faith in our lives. And when we face that choice of faith or fear, if we choose fear, it does some things to us. Not good things. It makes us skeptical. We're afraid of trying anything new and we're afraid. It makes us selfish. We're afraid to commit to God and to others. It makes us short-sighted. We focus on the past and not on the future. Now, there's a lot of fears that we face when it comes to this issue of faith and stepping over the line to have faith. But Bartimaeus, he faced one of the many of us, we face the same thing. And that is the fear of disapproval and rejection. He knew that to shout out at Jesus in the crowd, that was not the right thing to do. He knew that people would look down on him for for what he was going to do, but he was desperate. And he knew that Jesus was the only one that could help him. How many of you know that right now? That Jesus is the only one that can really help us. In my argument, I was thinking Berna was going to help me. She made me more mad. Yeah. Only Jesus can help us. And you look at what happened when he shouted out. When he shouted out to Jesus, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 48, many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, have mercy on me. He said, I'm not going to let you guys put me down. I need help. And when he shouted out, everyone around him just said, hey, stop that, be quiet. Don't make a scene. Surely Jesus isn't interested in you. He has more important things to do. And that's that voices that you hear all the time. The devil whispers things like that all the time. When that opportunity for faith comes into our heart, God surely would not be interested in you. Don't make a scene. What would people think? Those are words and thoughts that really keep us from having faith. Those kind of thoughts, even when you see the need, the opportunity to change, to be healed, all kinds of shouts come from inside of us to tell us, do not rock the boat. I'm going to ask you a question. Whose disapproval do you fear the most? Because whoever that is, that person is your God. They can keep you from having faith or invite you to have faith. You know, peer pressure is not just for kids. We all face that in our lives. In many, many ways. And the fear of disapproval is a struggle for all of us. Proverbs 29, verse 25. It says, the fear of human opinion disables you. Trusting in God protects you from all of that. So who you need to trust in? Yeah, God. You know, the truth is you would not worry so much about what other people think of you if you realize they didn't think about you anyway. You know why? You know who they're thinking about? Themselves. And so are you. They're thinking about themselves, just like we do. So God is asking you to do something greater than you have ever done before, different than you've ever done before. He's asking you to depend on Him in a way that you never have done before. Now, do you think that that's going to feel scary? Yeah. In that moment, you and I have a choice. Am I going to fall back on my fear and stay the way I was? Or am I going to look forward with faith and step forward in faith? Now, here's the third secret to a fresh start. You got to announce your faith. Now, what do I mean by that? Announce the change that you want to make in your life, what you are asking God to do. A secret faith is a shallow faith. If you're going to make a change, you need to say, this is what I'm asking God to do in my life. Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Jesus asked him, now he's talking about Bartimaeus, he asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man answered, teacher, I want to see. You know what he was saying? I want to be healed. You don't ask anybody to heal you unless you believe that that person can do it. Unless you have the faith that that person can do it. And so by Jesus asking him, what do you want me to do for you? And he replying, saying, I want you to heal me. I want you to give me sight. He's saying, I believe you who you are. And you are the Son of God. And I believe that you have the power to change me. And I believe that you can and will change me. I don't know about you guys, but when I gave my life to Christ, he changed me. That's what he's good at. That was a statement of faith, and he was announcing it publicly. Now, here is the amazing thing. Jesus asked you the very same question right now. What do you want me to do for you? He asked it every day, every morning. He's asking you right now in every moment of your life, what do you want me to do for you? God wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to make changes in your life. He wants to do incredible things in your life, things that you cannot even imagine. But you have to ask, and you have to ask in faith. You know that every time that you set a goal, it actually is a statement of faith. Goals are a statement of faith. Every time you say, this is what I want God to do in my life. This is what I want God to do for me. This is what God, I want God to change. This is my dream. This is my goal, my vision, my objective. You are publicly announcing your faith if you believe God's going to help you to do it. Now, there is one qualifier when you set a goal. You say, I am going to do this with my life, and you need to add the phrase, how many of you have heard this before, if it is God's will? Because that's what the Bible says. Because you don't know the future. You don't know what God has in store for you. You don't know what his plans are. You say, here is my goal, if it is God's will. My grandmother, I am Portuguese, so we call my grandmother Vovô. Anybody heard that before? And grandpa is Vuvu. So Vovô always would say, if it is God's will. And when I started to read this in the Bible, I said, this is where she got it from. Yeah. This is what we're supposed to be saying. James 4:15. You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. See, we cannot predict the future, so we don't want to be presumptuous, but that doesn't mean that you don't set goals, that you don't make statements of faith. You do make them. Now, why should I announce it publicly? I mean, can't it be just me and Jesus? I'll tell you why. The more people who know, the more support you're going to get. The more people you share it with, the more people can pray for you. The more people can support you. The more people can help you. The more people can encourage you. Are you following me? Yeah. Galatians 3:27. Your baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe, Christ-like, the fulfillment of God's original promise. You see, the first way that God wants you to announce your faith is to be baptized. Jesus said, if you're going to be a follower of me, I want you to not be ashamed of me. I want you to publicly identify yourself with me as a follower of Christ through an initiation act that we call baptism. How many of you heard of baptism? Yeah, baptism is when we are baptized in water. Yeah, so let me tell you what baptism is. It's two things. First, it's a public announcement saying, I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not a secret agent, Christian. When I used to baptize people at Coconut Island, I would first have them turn to the Nanilo Hotel in Hilo, Hawaiian. And I said, you cannot see this because it's too far away, but they're with their binoculars watching you. You know why we don't do baptism, in a pond around trees and all that? Because what we're doing is we're making a public announcement that these people are now living for Jesus. So Coconut Island is a great place to do it. Is that where you guys go right now? Yeah. Yeah. So the first thing is a public announcement saying, I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm a disciple. A disciple means I'm a follower. I'm not ashamed to say that. Okay, number two, it's a symbol of a fresh start. When we take a person and we put them down under the water and bring them back up, that's a symbol of dying to their old self underwater. And then when we bring them up, a brand new start with their walk with the Lord. You know what some wives have told me? Pastor Alex, can you hold my husband under a little longer? I just go through the ritual of doing it. But the Lord is the one that brings him up and washes him clean. Are you beginning to understand? I remember baptizing a guy who had his name tag when he came into the water. And when we put him under and brought him up, the name tag fell off. And you know what I thought? What a great reminder that baptism is a picture that when we become a Christian, we have a new identity. You're not the same anymore. And all your sins, all those mistakes, all the dumb things that you still regret are wiped out, washed away, start over. Listen, a fresh start with God. And that's what it's all about. You need, if you're going to make a fresh start, to announce your intentions, announce your goals, announce your faith publicly. And here's the fourth secret to a fresh start. Receive God's grace. You receive God's grace. In Mark chapter 10, verse 52, the A is the first part of that verse. Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight. See, what happened was he accepted the grace of God. Now, I know that there's a lot of hurt in this place. Some of you barely made it here today. Some of you are carrying major conflict, major pain, major disappointment, major grief in your life. And some of you are quite lonely and you feel that the happiness has passed you by. And you're kind of like this beggar, Bartimaeus, on the side of the road in a lot of misery. And the truth is, you can put on a happy smile, but inside, you hurt so much. You're in a lot of pain. And I want to say this morning that I'm glad you are here today because Jesus wants to give you a fresh start. And the emphasis is on give. Give. See, you don't earn it. You don't buy it. You don't do a bunch of religious rituals to get it. You just receive the free gift of God's grace and the ability to make a fresh start. Regardless of what your past has been, regardless of what you've done, regardless of the things that you brought on yourself. John chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. How do you receive God's blessings in your life? You do it by faith. Romans 4, verse 16. That's why faith is the key. What is faith? The key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift. You cannot become a person of faith without getting the promises of God in your life. Some of you say, "Well, I want to change, but I can't." And you know what? You're right. If you could change, you would have already done it. You need a power greater than yourself to make the changes that really make a difference in your life. You need God's power. Philippians 4:13 is a well-known verse. It's not on your outline. So you got to write this down to go and check it out. But it says this, "I can do everything through him who gives me the strength." You know what that means? Through God, I can do what I thought I cannot do. I can't. Through God, I can be a better husband. Through God, I can be a better friend. Through God, I can be a better worker. Through God, I can change. Because God is the one that can give me the strength to do all of that. He can help you make a fresh start. Amen?
Amen.
I had heard a story about a little boy. The father was asked him to go into the back of the yard to move this big boulder. And he wanted to go out and play. And the father said, if you do that, when you're done, you can go out and play. And so he went back there and he starts to try and push this boulder, but it's too big to move. He puts a rope around it and he tries to pull it, and the boulder doesn't even budge. He uses a lever to help turn that rock over, but it won't even move. And he comes back in and says, Dad, this is impossible. And the father said, have you tried to do everything? He said, yes, I've done all these things. I have. Yes, I did everything. And the father said, you didn't try asking me to help you. Many of you are in situations where you have tried all kinds of stuff and you think it's impossible and it's never going to change. It's never going to be any different. Have you tried asking God for help? Ask. And don't take it back. Ask God to help you. Have you tried receiving God's grace and letting Him give you the power that you do not have on your own? Receiving the grace of God. Bartimaeus, he was blind. But he had enough vision to see that Jesus could help him out. He had enough vision to see that he needed grace. So the question is, do you realize how much grace you need in life, or do you just think that you can go through life on your own? Spiritual blindness is far worse than physical blindness, because you don't realize how much you need God's grace in your life. Grace is not just for salvation. It's not just for you to get your sins forgiven and get you into heaven. Grace is for the daily mistakes of life. I don't know about you, but with my wife, when I say something wrong, I know. I can tell, you know, she don't have to say one word. I just, the body language and like, you know. And right away I said, you know what I tell myself? Oh, I need grace. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Yeah. And that's what God's grace gives to us. Because we need grace for the daily mistakes of life. And if you don't have grace in your life, then you're going to be filled with regret. You're going to be filled with and when you're filled with regret, you're going to get stuck in the past. And if you're stuck in the past, you cannot make a fresh start. I don't know what regrets that you're carrying right now, but I do know that the grace and forgiveness of God is available, and you can begin with a fresh start. And if you do these secrets that I'm sharing with you. And here's the last one, number 5. Take the next step. What is the next step? Now, every one of us in this room are at different stages. I don't know what step you need to take, but I do know that you need to take it. And some of you, the next step is to accept Jesus into your life, to say, God, come in. Be number one in my life. Some of you already done that. Your next step is to be baptized, to publicly announce that you're going to be a follower of Christ. Some of you, your next step might be to join a church family. It may be to get into a small group. I don't know what it is. It might be just to tithe. It might be to find a ministry. It might be to share with your friend at work or at just invite them to church. I don't know what is your next step, but I do know this, you have one. And God will never be finished in taking you deeper in faith. You will never just arrive. There is always a next step towards faith, towards love, towards joy, towards happiness. You know what I found out? God is not going to help you with step 3, 4, and 5 until you take step 1 and 2. You're asking God to help me with this, and he's saying, well, why haven't you done what I've already told you? You need to take the next step. And some of you are saying, well, I'm aiming to. I've been aiming to join that group. I've been aiming to get into ministry. I've been aiming to invite that person to church. You know what I want to tell you? Stop aiming and pull the trigger. Because otherwise you're procrastinating. Back to the story of Bartimaeus. Chapter 10, verse 52, the second part of that verse. He regained his sight, and he began following Jesus on the road. Now, that's in verse 52. In verse 46, it says, Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. Okay? So, he's sitting, and then now in verse 52, he regained his sight, and he's starting to follow Jesus. Right? You might want to underline that word, following. Following Jesus on the road. Because which one of those two phrases describes your life? Sitting beside the road or following Jesus on the road? Which of those two lifestyles do you think is more fulfilling? Sitting beside the road or following Jesus on the road? Which do you think has more joy and more meaning and more satisfaction? Sitting beside the road or following Jesus on the road? Which one do you want to represent in your life? Sitting beside a road or following Jesus on the road? You see, there's only one way to follow Jesus on the road, and that is to take the next step. Faith is more than believing. Faith is more than thinking about Jesus, more than just talking about Jesus, more than just having opinions and convictions about Jesus. Faith is action. It's movement. It's activity. Faith is something that you do. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 14, if the people say that they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. So what are you waiting on in order to take the next step of faith in your life? Do you realize that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow? You don't want me to ask the question again, right? How many of you know when you go and die? None of us have tomorrow guaranteed to us. Okay, I'm going to close this now. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay, true story. Was in the LA Times. Okay, here it goes. I quote, my brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of my sister's brewer, and he lifted out a tissue-wrapped package. This, he said, is not a slip. This is lingerie. And he discarded the tissue and handed me the slip, and it was silk. It was handmade, tipped with a cobweb of lace. The price tag was still attached. He said, Jan bought this the first time that we went to New York 8 or 9 years ago. She never wore it. She was saving it for a special occasion. I guess this is the occasion. He took the slip from me, put it on the bed with the other clothes that we were taking to the mortician. His hand lingered on the soft material for a moment, and then he slammed the drawer and shut, and he turned to me and he said, don't ever save anything for special occasions. Every day that you're alive is a special occasion. He continues and he says, I remember those words and thought about them through the whole funeral and the days that followed an unexpected death. I thought about all these things that my sister hadn't seen or heard or done. I also thought about all the things that she had done without realizing that they were special. I'm still thinking about those words, and they have changed my life. I'm not saving anything anymore. We use our china and crystals for anything. From now on, if it's worth seeing or hearing or doing, I want to see it and hear it and do it now. You want to hear the rest of the story, right? continues and he says, I'm trying very hard not to put it off or hold back or procrastinate or save anything that would have faith, that would add faith or laughter or substance to our life. Every day, every moment, every morning, when I open my eyes, I tell myself, this is a special day. Unquote. Where do you get the faith to begin a fresh start? There is only one source, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I'm going to ask you to read this with me to help me out on my voice right now. 1 Corinthians 1:30, ready, go. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, clean slate, a fresh start, comes by God and by way of Jesus Christ. So Bartimaeus, he had no idea that Jesus was going to be passing by that day. To him, just another day, same place, same thing. Miserable day. But God gave him an unexpected opportunity that could change his life, that could give him a fresh start. The reason that you are sitting here right now is because God is giving you an unexpected opportunity for a fresh start. My words to you, don't blow it, don't miss it, don't let it pass you by. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Pastor Scott, would you come up? I'm going to ask you to. Okay, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm making it really simple for you today. Bartimaeus, he yelled out. He didn't care what others would think. And there's a time in church when we give an opportunity for somebody to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And that opportunity is right now. And it's really easy because your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. You don't have to worry about anybody else. Pastor Scott, would you lead them to the Lord?
Would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? No shame. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. They have not wasted this opportunity. They have given up procrastination. They had said yes to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would lead them, that you would show them how to walk in the way that you called them to. Thank you so much for this message this morning. Lord, I pray that we would meditate on it. It would just not be on a piece of paper, but we would put it into our hearts. Thank you so much that we get to hear such a wonderful word, truth, Lord, that will set us free. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to guest teacher Pastor Alex Pacheco. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.